Kaiser, Scott White, Chris Towers. We welcome you to Fantasy Baseball today on Thursday, July 27th. How are you guys feeling about today's show based on what happened last night? What do you think this show is going to be like?
I think you had to get creative to make it interesting because I don't feel like a lot interesting happened yesterday. I guess we got the first home runs from Devers and Moncada.
Brinson.
Yeah, Brinson.
Oh, and Brinson too.
Yeah, we have a rookie homers.
That. There's that.
Rookie homers section rolls off the tongue. We'll talk about that. We have a few more Devers team names. And we're good on Devers, right?
I believe Devers is the accepted nomenclature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why a lot of broadcasters are saying Devers, considering they're professional broadcasters and, you know, the natural, like when you look at that name, your first instinct is Devers, right? It follows what I understand about how vowels work in Spanish.
Yeah, that's the thing for me is that I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think there's the hard E sound makes a lot of sense in Spanish in that instance.
So you'd feel like if they're saying Devers, they must have been told something, right?
Yes.
Why would they go against their instincts? They must
have
weird instincts.
What are the Red Sox announcers calling?
Well, we don't know. I haven't seen the Red Sox broadcast yet. But more importantly, let's talk about baseball. Yesterday is baseball.
We're talking about baseball.
Well, we're talking about names. Let's talk about baseball. Did I have to get creative? You know, it was interesting. It wasn't one of those, like, it wasn't one of those nights last night with crazy stuff, but I think a lot of really interesting players. And I want to start with Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola with 10 strikeouts in 6 scoreless innings against the Astros. He's just been unbelievable. He's got a 1.70 ERA, 50 strikeouts, and 42 and a third in his last 6 starts. And I was watching the game last night, and first of all, the Philly Fanatic is the best mascot in sports. He's just great. And
yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's very funny. But I watched Aaron Nola and thought, how could this guy ever be as bad as he was last year at points and earlier this year? He looked like a freaking ace. Man, was he good.
Yes.
He wasn't this good last year.
Well, you know, he wasn't this good, but actually, check this out. 6 starts now for Nola. 1.70 ERA, 50 strikeouts, and 42 and a third. And I mentioned this on Monday. He had a 5-start stretch last year, May through June, with a 1.97 ERA and 36 strikeouts in 32 innings and 12% swinging strikes, which is about what he's at in this 6-start stretch. So actually pretty comparable numbers, not quite as many strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was terrible after that. That's when his season fell apart.
I will sum it up this way. Pitching, playing baseball at this level is really hard, and sometimes the most subtle changes can make the biggest difference. It's why, you know, whenever we hear about a mechanical change or this guy added a new pitch or whatever, I think it's worth pointing out, and, you know, oftentimes it doesn't lead to anything, but Nola made a mechanical change. He refined his changeup. So now he's throwing harder and has a fuller arsenal.
That's the thing, is that it's not just some ineffable thing. Like, his stuff is better.
Because of a mechanical change.
Oh, he looked great last night. Just brilliant.
He's throwing 92. He's averaging 92 miles an hour with his fastball. Last season, he was maxing out at 92, 93. Now, you know, he can get it up to 94, 95 miles an hour. And so, you know, my questions about Aaron Nola, I guess, were just that, like, he relied a lot on called strikes, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I think it lowers your margin of error.
It's a skill. It lowers your margin of error if that's all you do, but if you're able to do that, it also elevates your ceiling.
And I think the big thing is that he had kind of, I don't want to say middling stuff because the changeup's a really good pitch. He gets good movement on the two-seam fastball. The curveball's a really good pitch, but there's a difference between throwing those pitches, you know, throwing that fastball at 93, 94.
Right. Nola, let's talk about where we're going to rank Aaron Nola at this point. I see him in the 30s right now for you guys. Chris has him 43rd. I know rankings are tough.
Yeah, he's
going to
move up a lot.
Is he going to be a top 20 pitcher? He's pitching like that right now.
I think there aren't enough cases to move down below him for me. I think I moved him just behind Sonny Gray. And I mean, we talked about yesterday how great Sonny Gray's been. Mm-hmm. So obviously a lengthier track record there of greatness for Gray.
Would you rather?
So yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with where I have Nola. I moved him ahead of Berríos, I think. So he's making moves.
But I just moved him to 28th.
Okay. All right, Nola, you're awesome. Jake Arrieta and Alex Cobb had good starts yesterday. Jake Arrieta had 5 swinging strikes against the White Sox, but it was 6 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs. In his last 7 starts, Arrieta has a 2.93 ERA and a 6% swinging strike rate. That is really bad. Meanwhile, Alex Cobb did have 11 swinging strikes yesterday, but for the season, he's got 90 strikeouts in 138 innings, and even during this really good stretch of 9 starts for Alex Cobb, not a lot of strikeouts. Jake Arrieta and Alex Cobb, can they keep this going?
I still have a lot more faith in Arrieta doing this than Cobb. And look, I mean, the swinging strikes are down for Arrieta. So are the strikeouts. I think he's just kind of reconfigured the kind of pitcher he is. And it's been going on even longer than the 6-7 start stretch you mentioned. Last 13 starts, 3.20 ERA, 1.09 whip. 7.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. So he's not an ace anymore, and that's fine. He's still good enough with a good enough supporting cast that I pretty much never want to sit him. Cobb, though, I mean, he's got like a 250 BABIP this year. I don't know. That's kind of scary.
Right. Like, is Alex Cobb, I've been saying it, and every time he goes out, he makes me look bad. But it just, look, we were getting the same comments about Irvin Santana that we're getting about Alex Cobb. Now, oh, you guys are too low on Alex Cobb. Like, give him credit. But look, it just Irvin Santana became what he was. Now, we don't know what Cobb is. Cobb was a really good pitcher for 2 years, but he wasn't. This strikeout rate is pathetic. And it just seems like in baseball these days, you cannot survive striking out like 6 guys per 9 innings. I don't even think he's at that.
You have to be... You can survive at 6 strikeouts per inning. Dallas Keuchel could be a very good pitcher at 6 strikeouts per inning. But you need to be exceptional in multiple other places. You need to be really good at limiting hard contact. You need to be really good at getting ground balls. You need to be really good at avoiding free passes. You need to have exceptional command as well as control. And I feel like Alex Cobb's pretty good at a bunch of those things, but not good enough to sustain. Like, you know, remember not just Irvin Santana, remember Jason Vargas?
Yeah.
And he's another guy that, like, you can do it for a stretch, but more often than not, those peripherals are going to catch up to you. And that's why it's hard for me to get excited about Cobb. It's why I still view him as just a guy.
Well, if it's hard for you to get excited about Alex Cobb, how hard is it to get excited about a guy who has homered in 3 straight games and has a 12.28 OPS since the All-Star break? The slugging first baseman from the state of California, Luis Valbuena, 2% owned. That's creative.
He's still hitting less than 200, right?
197.
Yeah, okay. Give him a break.
Give him a break.
He's one hit away.
Give me a break. Right. Bringing up Luis Valbuena.
He can hit for power. There's no question about that. He hit 25 homers in 2015, and that was before the big homer boost. He had 13 in 342 plate appearances, but he's a career 229 hitter. He doesn't do enough else well to be more than an AL-only guy.
You lose, Luis Valbuena. All right, fellas. So you tell me. What rocked your world last night, other than an amazing Team USA? They don't go by Team USA. Do they go by Team USA? Soccer.
I have no idea.
What's that? They do?
I have no idea what they go by.
USA Soccer wins the Gold Cup on a late goal. Very exciting stuff.
What is the Gold Cup?
The Gold Cup.
I think it's like an America's thing. It's a CONCACAF.
Yeah, CONCACAF. Great acronym. CONCACAF.
So Central America, Latin, or Caribbean, North America.
Yeah, they beat Jamaica last night.
I think this feels like when I took chemistry, like I ask a question and it leads to 8 other questions. So let's move on.
Yeah, so what was the big story for you guys yesterday? Don't say any of the rookies because we have a rookie homerers section coming later.
I suppose we should mention Paul Blackburn, who has 4 quality starts in his first 5 major league starts.
Get it off your chest, Chris. Destroy Paul Blackburn.
2.25 ERA. He's averaging 7 innings per start. He's been really good. And people are going to be looking into this Paul Blackburn fella, who has 12 strikeouts and 10 walks and 32 innings.
It's Ty Block all over again.
So, yeah, or there was a guy for the Rangers last year. Was it Chi-Chi? Who had a similar stretch last year?
I think so.
I don't know. I probably blocked it out.
And it's going to catch up to him at some point, but we have to mention it. It's been mentioned.
I've been singing Blackburn singing in the dead of night in my head this morning.
Very good.
Oh, yeah. That was very nice, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any chance to sing?
Jeff Samardzija had a good game.
He did.
And I think it was the first time since April that he had more than one walk in a start.
Do you think he should walk more people? Maybe he'd give
up fewer
homers.
I made that same argument in my trade chart last week. I think he's had a little bit of the Michael Pineda syndrome this season, where like he gets to a 2-ball or 3-ball count and just like grooves a pitch, leaves it in the fat part of the plate because he's trying to avoid the walk, and it gets crushed. So, you know, I'm not saying it's meaningful that he walked 2 batters in that start. I'm just saying it's good to see that he had a start that lived up to the lofty peripherals.
After 2 against the Padres, 2 consecutive against the Padres.
Yeah.
Where he allowed 12 and 10 and a third.
Yeah, maybe his worst 2 starts since April.
Hey, are we done with Steven Matz, 87%?
I think so.
I think he's droppable. Yeah. I mean, we haven't heard the last of Steven Matz, I don't think.
Yeah, this year, though.
Yeah, it's if he comes back in spring training, talks a big game, says, I've been working on my arm strength, I feel comfortable throwing the slider again.
I'm in the best shape of my life.
So you like those things.
I will be interested. Well, it's just about the slider.
I mean, this is kind of... You know, getting back to what I was saying about Aaron Nola and how small when there's a base level of talent, small adjustments can make a big difference. I mean, Jimmy Nelson is another perfect example of that with his 10 strikeout. I mean, he was awful last year, awful, and he led the NL in walks, and now he's not walking many players, and the stuff's playing up. Mike Foltynewicz, I think, is another great example of that. I haven't had too many good things to say about Mike Foltynewicz since spring. Even though he's had probably a better year than most people expected, just looking at the ERA, the win-loss record. But that big fastball, like, all it'll take is him developing some kind of swing and miss pitch, be it a changeup or a better slider. And then he could take off. So I don't think you can ever really give up on talent completely.
Right.
Steven Matz, I mean, if we're just talking about the here and now, he doesn't look like he has it right now, and he's running out of time to get it together this year. But
I just
like
think
I said, we haven't heard the last of Steven Matz.
I agree. I just think the fact that he's just not throwing the slider, he threw 5 of them, according to Baseball Savant last night. That was such an important pitch for his development. It's such an, I mean, we talk about the Mets, Dan Worthen slider a lot. And it just, if he's not throwing that, he doesn't have a swing and miss pitch. And it's, you can get away, you can succeed in the majors without a swing and miss pitch and without swing and miss stuff. But we're seeing, I think we saw with Aaron Nola in the second half of last season. We're seeing with Steven Matz now. It's really hard, and you have to be perfect. And Steven Matz is having the season that I was worried Aaron Nola might have.
Well, this is the year of realizing your talent, it seems, you know, especially with the hitters, Justin Smoke and even Eric Hosmer. We're going to take our Eric Hosmer medicine in a little bit. We'll read some emails. We'll grade some trades, by the way, at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Yonder Alonso was a first-round draft pick and had a bad career, but he's realizing his talent. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing to that, but it just seems more like a coincidence. A lot of these guys are breaking out. All right, so, Scott, you want to nominate a Wednesday standout real quick, and then we'll move on with the rest of the show. We got some news to talk about. We have an inconsequential fantasy or trade in baseball, inconsequential for fantasy. Go ahead, Scott White.
So we did bring up Bradley Zimmer yesterday. I don't know if we got into it too much.
Oh, you're not following the rules. We have the rookie homer section.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I knew we had the three first home runs. Zimmer didn't hit his first home run yesterday. Oh. He hit his second, in fact, in as many games.
Yeah, he grand slammed the other day. Yeah, and we also have Paul DeJong in there. So just wait. We will get to all the rookies,
all right,
sir.
We'll talk about my standout later then, I guess.
Wonderful. Let's do the news and notes. Colorado got Pat Neshek from Philadelphia for three minor leaguers, so he will not be a closer. Clayton Kershaw says he's not in nearly as much pain this year as he was last year. Still going to be out a while, but that's good news. Luke Weaver is going to start today for St. Louis against Arizona.
I believe you can get me through this start.
Do you believe that Luke Weaver can get you through this start? And should we pick up 25% owned Cardinals pitcher Luke Weaver, who's pitching in Adam Wainwright's absence?
Yeah, I'm not sure this isn't a bigger deal than it's not getting as much attention maybe as it deserves, because Luke Weaver, you won't find a pitcher in the minor leagues with better numbers than he's had the last 2 years. ERA around 150 both years. And even though last year, during the time he saw in the majors, I mean, the end numbers weren't great. He had a couple starts, particularly right after getting called up, that were just lights out. 10 strikeouts and 6 inning starts. A couple starts later, 8 strikeouts and 6 innings. I think there is definite upside here. Now, if the Cardinals don't move a pitcher at the deadline and this just ends up being a minimum stay on the DL for Wainwright, obviously it was a wasted pursuit. But, if Weaver's lights out today, then you're going to have a competition for him that you don't have at the moment you're hearing this podcast.
Well, another thing here is that Lance Lynn has been a subject of trade rumors. So
right.
If he gets moved, that would be nice. You didn't say that, did you?
I mentioned the possibility the Cardinals could trade somebody at the deadline.
Oh, okay. Because I was in my head while you were talking, I was also thinking about more Luke Weaver lyrics.
Oh, I know. I do it all the time.
I believe you could be better than Wainwright was.
That
could definitely work. He's 25% owned, as I mentioned. Would you drop Sean Newcomb, Denelson Lamet, those guys for Luke Weaver? Just take a shot.
I would drop Denelson Lamet, yeah.
Who was the other one?
Sean Newcomb.
I'm not
sure
I would drop
I think
Newcomb.
If you drop Newcomb, nobody's picking him up.
Mm-hmm.
That might be fair.
All right.
But I'd drop Lamet first.
Hey, real quick. We do have hey real quick later. Is the Dansby Swanson, Aaron Blair, Shelby Miller trade the most useless trade in baseball history now that Swanson's being demoted?
Well, we haven't heard the last of Dansby Swanson either, I think it's fair to say.
Okay, more on that in a little bit. New York Mets hitting coach Kevin Long says Yoenis Cespedes may need to lose weight. Cespedes came into the season, he bulked up his lower half intentionally. It's not like he came in out of shape, trying to avoid injuries. It doesn't appear to be working, and I do think Cespedes, like, if anybody offers me a trade with Cespedes and he's a big part of it, it is an automatic decline. For me, I'm worried about his health. He's been hitting like crap. He pulls up lame once every 4 games. So, I mean, if it's like a super buy low, that's one thing. But I don't think you should put a lot of stock into Cespedes. I think you should be, happy if he produces, but caution flags. Am I out of line saying that? No. Okay. Aaron Judge is a little banged up, but he is expected back today. You should sell high on Clint Frazier, maybe? I don't know if anybody wants him, but it does seem like he might go back down to the minors when Aaron Hicks comes back, and he also has 2 walks and 20 strikeouts. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I don't know in what context you could really sell high on Clint Frazier, because how owned is he? Like
60% or something.
Yeah, so it would have to be, I think, a deep league where you could get anything worthwhile for him. Otherwise, I'd just hold on to the upside and see how it plays out.
And same with Brad Peacock, who could be shifted to the bullpen. We talked about that yesterday. We kind of feel like that's going to happen.
It could be. Fires helped yesterday. And somebody mentioned the possibility to me on Twitter that maybe they move Lance McCullers to the bullpen to preserve his innings. I didn't think that was too far-fetched.
I also just they're pitchers.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get hurt at some point.
Sure.
So cynical.
You rarely actually have as many pitchers as you think you do. You know, the Dodgers had too many pitchers, and now...
Yeah. Now they want to trade for one.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that they really need to, but they want to.
Gregory Polanco resumed baseball activity. Zach Cozart sat with a sore quad. Jake Odorizzi's on the DL with a lower back strain. He may only miss two starts. Brent Honeywell?
Maybe.
I would hope so.
Maybe. There are a lot of other options who are actually on the 40-man roster, so I would bet against it. But at the same time, when there's some buzz that the best pitching prospect in baseball could get called up, it's worth your time to stash him.
What about Honeywell or Weaver, if you had to pick one up right now?
Weaver.
Yeah, I think Weaver.
Steven Strasburg's on the DL. They're calling up Eric Fetty. Strasburg expected to miss only one start.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see about that. He wasn't supposed to go on the DL.
It was originally, oh, he just couldn't get loose.
Yeah.
And then it was, well, he had a nerve issue in his elbow, but he's not going to miss a start, and now he's on the DL. We'll see.
Okay, so what about Fetty? How does he compare to Weaver and Honeywell?
I think he's well below them.
He was similar coming into the year. He was rated similarly as a prospect, but then they kind of messed with him, moving him to the bullpen for a while, and that didn't go well, and his numbers at AAA, like a 5.50 ERA and 6.5 strikeouts per nine. I don't really think of him as a top prospect anymore. I know he was on some mid-season lists still, and I don't doubt there's upside there, but I don't see it happening right now.
So you can't spell Fetty without fe, right? George Springer, Alex Bregman, Dallas Keuchel, they could all play tomorrow. In fact, Keuchel will pitch tomorrow. Salvador Perez will be back tomorrow. Aaron Altherr is back. He is 50% owned. Altherr or Clint Frazier?
Altherr.
Yep.
Adrian Beltre got ejected for moving the on-deck circle.
That was fantastic.
It was great.
I would guess it wouldn't have happened if the Marlins weren't up by 14 at the time, I think. But it was terrific nonetheless.
Also, Giancarlo Stanton celebrated his 32nd home run, his major league leading 32nd home run, with a massive celebration to get back at Jason Grilley for what he did the night before. So that was a wild game.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah, you can see all of it on cbssports.com/MLB. We've got the videos for you. Evan Longoria homered, hashtag reverse jinx. Avisail Garcia is going to miss a couple weeks with a strained ligament in his thumb, hashtag actual jinx. And Atlanta is sending down Dansby Swanson. All right, time for the rookie homerers. Everybody, your patience paid off. I'm going to talk about all the rookies that homered yesterday after I tell you about something that was even better, and that was my dinner. My dinner was awesome last night. Thank you for asking. It was a Blue Apron night. I really want all of you to enjoy Blue Apron as much as I do. That is the truth. I know you will. Go to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. That's blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. You'll get 3 free meals and free shipping. Get started right now. So Blue Apron gets delivered right to your door. You get exactly what you need. No wasting ingredients. No wasting money. How often do you throw out food? It's the worst. It's less than $10 per person per meal. The instructions are easy. Blue Apron basically taught me how to cook. And what I really love is that I eat meals that I never have tried before and never would try, and I really love it. So coming up, we got seared chicken and creamy pasta salad, creamy shrimp rolls, fresh basil fettuccine pasta. There's steaks. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. That's blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. You can customize your menu, too, if you're a vegetarian or you don't like fish or whatever it is. That's blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Rookie homerers. Rafael Devers, homered, 69% owned. Louis Brinson, homered, 30% owned. Paul DeJong, homered again. 4 homers in his last 5 games. 66% owned, Paul DeJong. Bradley Zimmer, homered twice in a row now. 49% owned. Yoan Moncada, homered. He's doing a little better than he was last year.
He's showing real signs,
yeah,
I think.
And he's 84% owned. He's the most owned Moncada. So in terms of ownership percentage, it goes Moncada, Devers, DeJong, who's shortstop eligible, Bradley Zimmer, Louis Brinson. What say you about these rookie homers?
So I'm going to talk about Bradley Zimmer now. because for the most part, we've been able to ignore him during his time in the majors because he hasn't been playing every day for Cleveland. But that appears to be changing. He started against three of the last five lefties they've faced, and in part because he's performing. We mentioned home runs in back-to-back games. In his last four games, he's 8-for-13 with two homers, three doubles, two stolen bases. And the stolen bases are really what's key. If he's an everyday player with some power, you know, he hasn't shown big power, but he's shown some, and runs at the rate he's been running so far, that's somebody who probably needs to be in every rotisserie lineup. So his ownership at 49 seems awfully low to me based on the upside, the potential contributions, and the trend we're seeing with the playing time.
All right, it's Bradley Zimmer, and he leads off for the Indians. I don't know, does he lead off all the time? I think he kind of does now, but Zimmer's been really good. You know who else has been good? I know this is a – I can just say the name, we don't have to talk about it. Michael Brantley's been good, so hope you didn't give up on him. Indians are coming around for sure. The
a
Rafael
lot of
Devers
for Brantley.
What'd you say?
It's been good, but like mostly just batting average good.
I think he's starting to hit for a little more pop now. Okay. The team is hot. Carlos Santana's hitting well this week. Rafael Devers with that homer. Look, Eduardo Nunez is going to report to the team on Friday.
Yeah,
so
they're keeping it close to the vest there, what they're going to do with Devers when Nunez comes up. But I hope this performance inspires them to keep Devers around.
I don't. But that's because I own Nunez, not Devers. Yoan Moncada at 84% owned. Do you think fantasy owners should stay patient with him this year? Obviously in keepers for sure, but this year. But if a guy who is batting 130 right now after batting 211 in eight games last year, it's 15 combined major league games. How patient should we be with Moncada?
I think patient. I mean, he's been 80% owned basically all year. So yeah. If you waited all this time for it to get called up, you got to give him more than a week of action before you decide he's not going to be useful for you this year. He's got the second base eligibility now. I'd give him a little more time.
He struck out eight times in 28 plate appearances. He had a four strikeout game. So you look at it and say, well, it's more of the same for Yoan Moncada. But last year he had a 17% swing strike rate. This year it's down to 8%. 8% would
That's
actually
good.
Be really good.
Yeah. Also four walks. Last year he walked once.
Yeah, so I think we're seeing signs that he's not nearly as overmatched as either his numbers or as he looked last year.
I got to tell you, I'm excited about owning any of these. Well, four of the five. I'm excited about owning four of the five of these rookies here. The one that I wouldn't be excited to own is actually the one who's the most usable right now.
Huh.
And that's Paul DeJong. Because he's hitting a lot of home runs and he's shortstop eligible. Okay. When the home runs slow down, as they will, I mean, he's not going to sustain a 50 homer pace or whatever he's on. There's not going to be much there.
Yeah, walks, 50 strikeouts, or four walks, 60 strikeouts. But is he just Rougned Odor?
Right. Like I think the power is legit to
an extent.
Again, not 40. Two homer power,
what's the
which
upside?
Is his pace.
I feel like the upside for DeJong is kind of what Marcus Semien was last year, and it was look, Marcus Semien was a usable player. I think DeJong will remain usable.
Yeah, I mean he hit 22 homers.
I think the other four have a chance to be much more than usable.
He hit 22 homers in Double A last year. He hit 13 in Triple A in 48 games before getting called up, and he's got 14 now. We know that guys are hitting for more power in the majors than they were in the minors. So I think the fact that he was a good power hitter in the minors makes me think that he can legitimately be a very good power hitter in the majors, especially for the shortstop position. I agree he's going to slow down, but he could be Jed Jerko.
Yeah, I just think that we're talking about Paul DeJong, by the way, Cardinal shortstop. The injuries to Correa and Trey Turner have just been, you know, two of the best shortstops in fantasy. They're out. It's, you know, it makes Paul DeJong relevant because I am the Correa owner, and that was somebody I considered along with Marcus Semien and Ahmed Rosario. I ultimately traded for Trevor Story. We'll see if there's much difference between Story and DeJong. I don't know, but I traded for him. People are desperate for shortstop for sure, and the Xander Bogaerts.
Said he's the most usable. I just am not excited to have him. I'm relenting and picking up Paul DeJong because he's hot, but it's not exciting to me. I'd rather, like, I'm more excited about the other four.
The other four.
He's a good looking man.
Devers, is he?
All right.
Devers, Brinson, Zimmer, and Moncada. Devers, Brinson, Zimmer, and Moncada. And let me tell you the Adam is an idiot story here. So three times in about 30 seconds, I did something just in my own head stupid. First, I have a keeper league. You only keep three players, but you can't, you know, it helps to pick up a free agent and keep him for like a 25th round pick. So I was thinking about dropping Ryan Madsen for Lewis Brinson earlier yesterday, and I decided against it. And then I saw Lewis Brinson homered, and I went back to the league, and I said, all right, let's see if Lewis Brinson's available. I'm going to take a shot here. Nope, he got picked up. So, one, Adam is an idiot for not picking up Lewis Brinson. Then I went and I looked at the team that picked up Lewis Brinson, and I realized that I had forgotten my team name, and it was me who picked up Lewis Brinson earlier in the day after all. So that's two, Adam is an idiot.
That's great.
Yeah, Dansby Samsonite. Great, my favorite team name, and I forgot that was my team. And three, Adam is an idiot. Kind of wish I hadn't dropped Ryan Madsen because it just so happens that Brinson homered off Sean Doolittle. I don't think it's a huge deal. It was a non-save situation, but still, I thought that was pretty funny. It's like, oh, that's me. I shouldn't have been so upset about that. But all right, so now I own Brinson. Here are some Devers team names for you. Just a couple more. Josh in New York City. Chris, you can help me out if you'd like here. We are never, ever, ever getting back to Devers.
Yeah, that one's very good.
And Mark,
I'm always here for a Taylor Swift team name.
Mark in Vermont, tinker with Devers, no chance. Tinkers to Evers to chance. It's the old like Cubs double play combo or something like that.
Sounds like a Heath team name to me.
I think it's pretty funny, but good for them. All right, hey, real quick.
Hey.
Yankees edition. Get excited. Continuing a discussion from yesterday, and they both pitched. One very well, one very poorly. Rest of season, Luis Severino or Yu Darvish?
I said I didn't think there was that much of a difference between them yesterday, so got to stick with it. Now, I will say, Yu Darvish is included in trade rumors, and I think anytime you get close to the deadline and you've got a guy whose status is so up in the air like that, I think you can explain away and excuse a couple of bad performances. You know, Jose Quintana has actually admitted that the constant trade speculation, everything that went on this offseason with the White Sox, it weighed on his mind while he was pitching. I don't knock Yu Darvish much for yesterday's start. I just think Luis Severino is really good. I have them separated by four spots in my rankings.
Look, it's easy to be down on Yu Darvish the day after his worst career start, but he had just come off the start where he struck out 12 in 8 innings.
Mm. Yeah,
that was his previous start, and
nobody's
he ended June. Oh, I'm sure a lot of people are down on.
No,
Yu Darvish
people have been
today.
Down on him for a long. I don't. I just
he's ended
been
June
unfairly
with
maligned.
He ended June with a 3.11 ERA.
I will say he's not. I think it's fair to say he's one of those guys whose rate stats don't tend to look as good as you would think. Like, we consider him an ace. He has one of the best strikeout rates in the history of baseball. But he also has a career 3.42 ERA. He was 3.41 last year.
I mean, it's the same kind of things we were saying about Corey Kluber for much of last year. Now he's taking it to another level this year. But, yeah, his ERA is kind of on the high side for an ace, but he still gets a ton of innings, a ton of strikeouts.
But Darvish has more glaring flaws in his game than Kluber.
Well, Scott, did you answer Darvish or Severino?
I'm taking Darvish. I mean, if Severino was in his third year of doing this, then I could say I'd take Severino, but
okay. Hey, real quick. Shortstops, Didi Gregorius or Xander Bogaerts?
Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Woo, Xander Bogaerts is not having a very good season. I mean, like I didn't see where he ranks at shortstop. I'm sure it's still pretty high, but first of all, he's dealing with some injuries, hand and groin injuries. Last 22 games, Bogaerts is batting 160. Wow.
He is dealing with injuries, and actually there's some talk he may go on the DL with this Nunez acquisition, and that would be one way of keeping Devers around because Nunez would take over at shortstop. So Obviously, that factors into, would you rather have a guy who's about to go on the DL possibly, or D.D. Gregorius? But I still think I'd rather hold on to the one who could be an actual game changer at the position as opposed to somebody who's going to keep me afloat.
Well, D.D. Gregorius, since being called or since coming off the DL, he missed the start of the season, April 28th, so most of the year. He's a top five shortstop. Going into yesterday, he was number five in points, number four in Roto. I think he's now number three in points, number four in Roto at shortstop since April 28th when his season started. And I've always liked Didi. I've seen a few wall scrapers from him. I've watched a lot of very fortunate luck for Didi this year. I do think he's a sell-high candidate, but I've always liked him. I think he's really talented, and I think it's paying. His talent is finally being realized. I'd like to see him be less of a home run hitter, to be quite honest with you, but...
he's not bad. Like, saying
he's not going to keep you afloat.
He's going to keep you afloat, maybe understating it a little.
A little bit.
He's shortstop Jonathan Scope, right?
Well, I mean, Jonathan Scope's going to hit 35 home runs this year in all likelihood.
Yeah,
I don't think he's quite that good.
All right, let's move on. If you want to go see D.D. Gregorius or Jonathan Scope or Xander Bogaerts in a minor league game, rehab game maybe, use SeatGeek to get there. Buying tickets to sports and concerts, it can be complicated, but SeatGeek is the better way, the simpler way, the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. And with our offer code FANTASY, you can get $10 off your first purchase. That's not bad. $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase with our promo code FANTASY. So download the app. I've got it on my phone. We all have it on our phone. We all use SeatGeek now because you realize this saves you time and money. SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites, compares prices, finds amazing deals, and grades every ticket based on value. So you look at all the seats that are available. You see these green dots. The greener the dot, the better the value. You click on that. You say, these are the ones that I should buy if I want to go to the event. That's how easy it is with SeatGeek, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek for sports, for concerts, for comedy, for theater. Use the promo code FANTASY for $10 off your first purchase. Again, that's promo code FANTASY on the SeatGeek app. All right, what's next? Some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. This is Nate in Philly. Let's try to do this in 5 minutes. Five emails, 5 minutes, all right?
Okay.
Nate in Philly. Dear Brody, Renee, Shannon, and Gwen.
Oh, we're going to waste time thinking of what these are.
Yeah, I don't know who they are. So let's go to... I feel you don't talk enough about Taijuan Walker unless you are knocking him, but the guy keeps producing solid starts. What gives? What are we doing with Taijuan Walker?
Get him, Chris.
I just don't think Taijuan Walker's very good.
Mallrats.
I don't know. Like,
you're underwhelming me, Chris.
I don't know why. I don't know what more to say. Like, he's a mediocre strikeout pitcher. He has mediocre control. He's a little better than league average when it comes to getting ground balls right now, but the total package is a high threes, low fours ERA guy who happens to have a 3.47 ERA right now. It's not sustainable. He's not special. He's just a guy.
He's gotten lucky avoiding home runs, right? Especially given his home park.
Yes. He has a 9.8% home run to fly ball rate. For his career, it's 13.1%.
Taijuan Walker or Lance Lynn?
Lance.
Lynn.
Taijuan Walker or...
We're on a first name basis.
Mike Foltynewicz or Walker?
Folty.
Oh, man. I think I would lean Walker there, but I have similar concerns for both.
Yep.
Okay.
They both seem like they should be better.
Mallrats is such a bad movie, by the way.
Oh, it's a fantastic movie.
No. This is from Nolan. He must be talking to you guys. Dear Wrong, Wronger, and Wrongest.
Oh.
Time
man.
To eat crow for being so low on Eric Hosmer. I won't read all of the email, but yeah, since May 1st, Eric Hosmer has been incredible.
What happened on May 1st?
I don't know. He just
was he hurt before? Like, did he come off the DL or?
Well, he still had a pretty good year.
When we do this, like, since May 1st thing, it's like we could just look at his whole season. He's having a really good season overall.
He is having a career year.
Divide it up.
Career year.
He's having the best season of his career.
Something may have happened on May 1st that we just don't know about. I mean, I don't think it's completely useless to say he's been hotter for this more recent stretch than he has over the longer stretch.
Right,
the thing is, it's not just a recent stretch. It's still a three-month stretch.
Right, at this point, we can just say he's having a great season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's
having a great season in a season where a lot of first basemen are having great seasons.
And he's, like, top 15 in points scored. He's probably about the same and a little lower in points per game. He's around the same in Roto. So it's like a really good. The irony is he's having his best season as a hitter. He has career high slugging percentage, career high on base percentage, career high batting average. Mm-hmm. And he's probably going to have his fewest RBI since 2014. He's probably going to have fewer runs scored than 2015. It's just, it's strange.
Well, I'm, Hosmer's
look, I'm
having
fine
a career
starting
year,
Hosmer.
Bottom line.
But
I think he's fine.
Yeah.
You want to hear something funny? So what? Yesterday, Eric Hosmer was the number 14 first baseman in points leagues. Today, he is number 7 because he scored over 20 fantasy points last night with a 5-for-6 game.
It. Yeah.
But he still hits too many ground balls. He just doesn't have a great batted ball profile. He doesn't hit the ball particularly hard. He's got a 30% hard contact rate, 89.7 miles per hour average exit velocity.
Sell high. He's also number 9 in Roto.
I would like to sell high on Eric Hosmer. I think his name is more valuable than he will be moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt to pursue a trade, but I think I said this last week about Hosmer. I feel like he's such a high floor player.
Sure.
Like you never, I love having him as like my utility spot in a points league. That's what I have him in the podcast points league. And, you know, that team's been doing really well lately. I'm sure Hosmer has no small part in that. He should not be your best first baseman.
Yep.
But he should be in your lineup.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But let's be clear. This guy says in the email, I'm glad I didn't drop him for flavor of the weeks like Justin Bour. Justin Bour's been better than Eric Hosmer this season. It sucks that he's hurt right now. And, like, you're in a better spot if you have Eric Hosmer over Justin Bour. But you were in a better spot this season if you had.
Well, see,
Justin
that's
Bour.
Where I might disagree with you, because I actually had Bour and Hosmer in this league at the same time at some point. I decided to draw Bour instead of Hosmer.
Mistake. But like that, you admitted that was a mistake, I think, when you did it. He had a 942 OPS in July before going down. It's not like Justin Bour
slowed
down.
I think I did express regret at one point. I don't have that regret today.
Well yeah. Justin Bour's been on the DL twice since
very
then.
Yeah. Clairvoyant.
Like, and Hosmer just had a 20-point game.
Yeah. But
all
like
right,
that,
guys. All right.
I'm just saying, like, Bour may be the higher upside week-to-week play, but Hosmer is so steady.
He's been better since May 1st.
Yep.
With the exception of the injuries, which is...
All right, so basically been about 5 minutes, so let's go faster with these last three. From Caleb, thoughts on Neil Walker's return? Walker or Reyes in a categories league, and does his return keep Ahmed Rosario down until September?
Neil Walker, unless you desperately need saves.
And the answer... Saves?
Steals. No, steals.
And the answer, the second half, Ahmed Rosario's up as soon as Asdrubal Cabrera's out of the picture. And I think one way or another, Asdrubal Cabrera is going to be out of the picture at the trade deadline. Yeah. So if they don't find a taker, I think he'll just be cut loose.
Steals are the saves of hitter.
They are.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Alex from Rapid City. Real quick. Hey, real quick. 2 out of 3. Clevinger, Morton, Hendricks. Rest of season. Clevinger, Morton, Hendricks.
Morton and Hendricks. I'm just a little worried about whether Morton goes to the bullpen, but I think he's better than Clevinger.
I'll go Clevinger and Hendricks.
Can you settle this debate from John? Which is the better game, Angry Birds or Brick Breaker?
I have never played either.
Are we talking about like the Brick Breaker from like the BlackBerry? Because I played
that's
that
what
game.
Brick Breaker is. Oh,
I
knew
played
it.
That game for hours in college.
Same.
That was my go-to.
Yeah, not
and
yeah.
Angry Birds. Yeah,
I've never played Angry Birds, so we're gonna go with Brick Breaker. Let's think long term here, guys. You tell me if these players are still worth keeping in keeper or dynasty leagues. Dansby Swanson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blake Snell.
Yes.
Byron Buxton.
A little less so than the two of them previously, although Blake Snell and Byron Buxton are, I guess, in pretty similar spots.
I feel like Buxton's had more failure on his resume, and... Yeah, I mean, it would if assuming you're keeping him for really cheap, then yes, Buxton's still worth keeping.
Addison Russell.
Yes.
Yeah, but man, it's time to do something, Addison.
Put up or shut up.
Javier Baez.
I wish he had an everyday role.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
like if he gets traded this offseason, definitely.
Yes. I mean, he might even. He's down there with Buxton for me, lowest priority, but
Yeah, but he's one of three utility guys in Chicago at this point.
Okay, Tavier Baez. And finally, Lucas Giolito.
I could probably come up with 10 starting pitcher prospects I'd rather keep than Giolito, but it's a league of any size at all.
Is Luke Weaver ahead of him?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is.
Okie dokie. Double dongs yesterday, J.D. Martinez is having a big year, 6.18 slugging percentage. And Cameron Rupp, who doesn't really play that often. So I think we can skip double dongs. Who cares? Three up, two down. Three up number one is Marcus Semien, 41% owned. Three up number two is Cesar Hernandez, who has three steals in his last three games. And 46, let me do some quick math real quick. Let me do some speedy math right now. Over the last two seasons, Cesar Hernandez has scored 86 runs in 134 games.
That's really good.
As a leadoff hitter.
He's a pretty good player. I think he's underowned to 37%.
And Semien at 41%. Is Semien underowned?
Well, it stands to reason if Paul DeJong could be the next Marcus Semien, Marcus Semien could be the next Paul DeJong, right?
Yeah.
So I think he needs to be owned in about 20% more leagues.
And Finkel is Einhorn.
He's got the Semien has the walk to strikeout ratio this year that DeJong certainly does not have to suggest that his batting average could go
he
up.
He wishes he
that
was Marcus Semien.
That won't sustain. We know enough about Marcus Semien to know that that'll turn around.
I mean, I don't know. Like
he
maybe
walked a lot in the minors. He had like a 100 walk season in the minors, I think. Pretty close.
And he has seven steals in 27 games. It's actually gotten to the point where I think I'm going to start him over Jason Kipnis in a roto league when Kipnis comes off the DL at middle infield. Semien.
That's not crazy.
41% on. I don't know that Cesar Hernandez is a really good player. I just think if you want some batting average and some runs in a categories league, like he doesn't give you much else. Some steals, but not much.
Marcus Semien had a 98 walk season in 2013. 99 if you include. He got a little time at the majors at the end.
I'm going to skip around here because I think we should talk more about Eric Thames tomorrow. Why don't you tell me real quick how you feel about Brian Dozier's season? He is the number 9 second baseman in points leagues, number 15 in roto. It just doesn't feel like Dozier has had that good of a year. What do you think?
He hasn't. He's been a big disappointment as, what, a third-round pick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But have you ever really thought about benching Brian Dozier?
No.
Probably
not. He's But I don't think you should hold out hope that he's going to get much better from here. Like, he's been helped by the fact that it's been he's a diverse contributor. Some home runs, some steals, a bunch of doubles.
He's good.
Okay.
He's not great.
Brian Dozier. Would you rather have... So which second baseman? Let me just think. I'm going to pull up the second base rankings while I do this off the top of my head. How about Jonathan Scope or Brian Dozier?
Scope.
Dozier.
Okay. And anything to say about Carlos Martinez, who, you know, a month ago was having this brilliant year. He struggled a bit in July, and now he's number 22 at starting pitcher in both points and roto. Carlos Martinez, 3.52 ERA, 1.19 WHIP. You know,
he's very good.
He's riding the waves of a baseball season, I think. And right now the wave is going down.
Because July, he had one really bad start, right?
He's had 3 5-run starts in July, okay. Carlos Martinez. And like, I just feel like he's better than the number 22 starting pitcher. If I don't do rankings, but if I did, I can't imagine Carlos Martinez would be outside
my
top 15.
We all have him in the 13 to 15 range.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Jimmy Nelson and Gio Gonzalez were both very good yesterday. Are these guys going to regress? Are they going to let us down the stretch? Or you feel good about Gio and Jimmy?
Oh, I feel great about Jimmy.
Yeah.
Gio.
maybe he's going to start him.
The ERA may go up a little, but like he's I think he's reliable enough.
Gio Gonzalez's ERA for the rest of the season could be a run higher than it currently is, and I wouldn't be shocked, but I still think he'd probably be pretty useful.
Right, exactly.
He's at 281 right now.
Yeah.
Fringy starting pitchers. Patrick Corbin, 66% owned. I looked at the two-star pitcher list for next week, and it doesn't seem like there are going to be a lot of free agents that you're excited about, but if there's one, I think it was Ian Kennedy who had good matchups, and he's got a 3.47 ERA over his last six starts. And Kennedy,
I think five of those starts were great, and one was awful.
Kennedy is at Baltimore and home against Seattle. It's, I don't know. At Baltimore is not a good park for him, but they're not that good.
No. No, I think Kennedy, it's a good time to start Kennedy. He's a very streaky pitcher.
Actually, Corbin is good and bad at the Cubs and at San Francisco. Corbin's been good. Like, who do you guys like better, Corbin or Kennedy? They're about owning the same amount of leagues.
Well, assuming Corbin's relief pitcher eligibility doesn't matter to you, I will give Kennedy by just a little. I'll take Kennedy.
I'm going to go Corbin.
I was a little disappointed with Yolish Chacin last night. 5 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs. It was the 3 walks because the whip was high. With 5 strikeouts against the Mets, but I think he got the win. And
not nearly as disappointed as you were in his opponent.
Steven Matz? No. Yeah, he definitely got the win. So, Corbin, Kennedy, Chacin. Who's your favorite of that trio?
Corbin.
Chacin's still a distant third. So, yeah, he's not really part of the conversation for me.
In the bullpen yesterday, Sean Doolittle struggled. Zach Britton struggled in a non-save situation. Santiago Casilla, he struggled again. Brandon Kinstler has had 2 bad outings in a row, but still a 2.84 ERA this year. And Brad Hand got a save. He was good. But if we look at the guys who struggled, Doolittle, Britton, Casilla, and Kinstler, anything that fantasy owners need to know or anticipate here?
You know, we were talking yesterday, and I'm thinking totally top of mind here, so apologize if I progress the idea slowly, but the Twins are, they consider themselves contenders, right? They just got Jaime Garcia. And we were talking yesterday about how it doesn't look like there are any contenders who need a closer, so any reliever who gets traded probably is losing value. But, I mean, Kinstler has exceeded expectations, you know, with a bad strikeout rate, so we don't have a lot of faith in him, but who's going to replace him? Surely the Twins front office has to be thinking along those lines, too. I mean, I could see, you know, maybe Brad Hand goes to the Twins and becomes their closer. Like, they might be a team that needs to acquire a closer.
They're 4 games out of the second wild card right now, the Twins, and they're on a 4-game losing streak. This series at the Dodgers really hurt them. Their run differential is minus 73. They won a lot of one-run games. So, yeah, I could see that. It's weird. They might play it out for the next few days, and honestly, like, they might be out of it or pretty close to out of it.
They might.
It's been a bad week for the Twins. All right, but also don't drop Brad Brock because we just don't know what's going on with Zach Britton. He's been bad. Grade the trade. We'll do grade the trade, and we'll finish with today's matchups. Grade the trade from Matt. A blockbuster video right here. 12-team Roto League. I used to love going to Blockbuster.
Hollywood video.
As much as I really love Netflix, like, you go out to the video store, and you just walk around for a half an hour, and you look at the new releases. Like, I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
It was fun once you got there, but, I mean, anytime I prefer not having to go somewhere to do something as opposed to going somewhere.
Well, for a while,
it was
our
idea of getting in my car.
But it was our parents
taking us,
because
they still have, like, Redbox, right? Like, it's a lot cheaper to get a Redbox movie than to stream one from whatever service.
Stuff's pretty,
like,
cheap.
I don't want to do that.
Not anymore,
no?
Because we've been spoiled.
Redboxes are everywhere.
We've been spoiled now.
I know.
Yeah, hey, let's go to Blockbuster. That was always a fun thing. All right, anyway. Blockbuster trade, 12-team Roto League with OPS and quality starts. Give up Goldschmidt and Keuchel. Give up Goldschmidt and Keuchel. Get Donaldson and Scherzer.
I think that's bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't
bad
do
deal.
It.
I am the most down of Donaldson on these four. I'm not down on him, like, in a general sense, but highest level of concern. So I will give this a D+.
I will acknowledge the fact that there's a chance this is the perfect time to have traded Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you and Heath have been down on him all year.
Right, because he's not as good as he was before
his
injury, and now he's coming back from an extensive injury.
He's amazing.
He's good.
He's incredible.
He was the Cy Young leader when
he's
he went down.
Amazing.
Right, but he wasn't.
He's amazing.
Peripherals don't matter.
Take your L. Now, they do matter. He gets the soft contact, the ground balls, and he's the best fielding pitcher in baseball, probably. It matters.
All right, he gets like one extra out every 15 starts because he's the best fielding pitcher in baseball.
No,
let's not give him that much credit. He's good. He's good. He's not 167 ERA good.
Well, nobody's 167 ERA.
I don't know how much his own fielding
but
matters.
If somebody values him as an ace...
He's an ace.
If someone still values him as a no doubt about it ace coming off a month and a half long absence due to a neck injury...
Well, that's different. Like, if you're going to say you said it because you made it sound like because he's not that good.
Yes, he's not as good... Do you think he's okay?
No, I don't think he's a 167 ERA
guy. Over under 1.70 ERA pitch.
Over. Nobody trades for Dallas Keuchel. Nobody trades for anybody who has a 170 ERA. Go ahead.
Over under 2.9 ERA.
Under.
Over under 2.7.
Right around there.
Okay, so
I mean his FIP, you say peripherals don't matter.
3.12.
He had 8.2 strikeouts
right,
per 9 innings, which is not bad.
If he has a 3 ERA the rest of the way.
Yes. And
I think this was a good time to sell high.
For the best team in the American League that's going to get him a bunch of wins.
Like, he's going to be very good. Nobody's doubting that.
Well, it seemed like you kind of were. And if the injury holds him back, that I mean, he's been on the DL twice for this
but
thing,
like,
so I get that.
That's a legitimate concern also.
I think
if you have a chance to sell him and somebody values him right now as an ace,
yeah, no,
that's good value for him.
He has to prove his health to regain his value fully, but I think he probably has 80 to 90% of his trade value right now.
I was having so much fun sticking it to you guys every time Dallas Keuchel started. I really miss those days. I really.
God, if he gives up four on
no.
his next starts
no,
on
no.
Friday.
I was with you on Keuchel.
No, I was talking about Kreith.
His starts on Friday, right?
Yeah, Friday.
If he gives up four runs in that start, I'm flying to New York and I'm dunking on him.
Awesome. All right, this is from Brandon. I was offered Ivan Nova for Eric Thames, or Garrett Cole for Sean Manaea and Eric Thames.
I don't have Garrett Cole ranked all that much higher than Sean Manaea at this point. I'm fine with Nova for Thames. It's a big win, so I think that's like a C-.
I think they're both C-.
Anybody else feeling Novocaine, Nova Thames?
Sure.
Okay, good. I just thought it was so funny. We got to talk about Thames tomorrow because he sat against a lefty for the third straight time. It's been pretty spaced out, but he's been bad for a while. From Philip, mostly bad. From Philip, 10-team head-to-head points league, give up Ryan Zimmerman and Charlie Morton. Zimmerman and Morton get Joey Votto.
A+.
I don't give him many A+, but the way Zimmerman's performed the last 6 weeks or so, I think that I do not know why the Joey Votto owner would want to do this, especially in a 10-team league.
Yeah, Charlie Morton's fine.
Like, in a 10-team league, I don't even know that Morton's fine.
I don't think Charlie Morton's owned in my 10-team league. I think I dropped him last week.
Yeah, this is an A-plus deal.
All right, 10-team head-to-head categories league. This is other John in Boston. 10-team categories league with OBP. Give Nelson Cruz, get Anthony Rendon.
C-.
That's pretty fair. I prefer Rendon to Cruz by not insignificant margin. I'll give it a B-.
Interesting. Okay. And
I'm at C+.
Jonathan in New York. Okay. Jonathan in New Jersey. You wish you were from New York. Give up Alex Wood, get Xander Bogaerts to replace Carlos Correa.
D.
Well, I'll. Yeah, I wish I had a clearer idea how long Bogaerts would be out, but then you probably want to get this offer if you did. I'll give it a C, depending on what I needed more.
All right, guys, I apologize to our listeners. We have to go. I have to do a fantasy football podcast, rather, in 2 minutes. So we're going to do that. And don't have time for today's matchups. I apologize. But thank you so much for listening. We'll come back tomorrow, help you get your lineup set for next scoring period. For Chris and Scott, I'm Adam. See you later.